Something for everyone. The day after graduating from college, I found $50 in the foyer of my Chicago apartment building. It occurred to me then that if I played my cards right, I might never have to find a job. People lost things all the time. They left class rings on the sinks of public bathrooms and dropped gem-studded earrings at the doors of the opera house. My job was to keep my eyes open and find these things. I didn't want to become one of those coots who comb the beaches of Lake Michigan with a metal detector, but if I paid attention and used my head, I might never have to work again. The following afternoon, I found 12 cents in an unopened tin of breath mints. Figuring in my previous $50, that amounted to an average of $25.06 per day, which was still a decent wage. The next morning, I discovered 2 pennies in a comb matted with short, curly hairs. The day after that, I found a peanut. It was then that I started to worry. I have known people who can quit one job and find another in less time than it takes to quarter a fryer. Regardless of their experience, these people exude charm and confidence. The charm is something they were either born with or had beaten into them at an early age, but what gives them their confidence is the knowledge that someone like me has also filed an application. Mine is a history of almosts. I can type, but only with one finger, and have never touched a computer except to clean it. I never learned to drive a car, which eliminates delivery work and narrows my prospects to jobs located on or near the bus line. I can sort of hammer things together, but have an ingrained fear of electric saws, riding lawn mowers, and any motorized equipment louder or more violent than a vacuum cleaner. I lack the size and bulk to be a guard, and the aggression necessary for store detectives, crossing guards, and elementary school teachers. Years ago, I waited on tables, but it was a sort of restaurant where customers considered the phrase, "Have a good day," to be an acceptable tip. When luck was with me, I tended to stumble into jobs, none of which were the type to hand out tax statements at the end of the year. People gave me money, and I spent it. As a result, I seemed to have fallen through some sort of crack. You needed certain things to secure a real job, and the longer you went without them, the harder it was to convince people of your worth. Why can't you work a cash register or operate a forklift? How is it that you've reached the age of 30 and still have no verifiable employment record? Why are you sweating so, and what force compels you to obsessively activate your cigarette lighter throughout the course of this interview? These questions were never spoken, but rather they were implied every time a manager turned my application face down on the desk. I leafed through the Art Institute's outdated employment notebook, and page by page it mocked my newly acquired diploma. Most of the listings called for someone who could paint a mural or enamel a map of Normandy onto a medallion the size of a quarter. I had no business applying for any of these jobs, or even attending the Art Institute in the first place, but that's the beauty of an art school. As long as you can pay the tuition, they will never, even in the gentlest way, suggest that you have no talent. I was ready to pack it in when I came across the number of a woman who wanted her apartment painted. Bingo! I had plenty of experience there. The woman began by telling me that she had always painted the apartment herself. "But I'm old now," she said. "It hurts my hands to massage my husband's feet, let alone lift a heavy paintbrush over my head. Yes, sir, I'm old. Withered and weak as a kitten. I'm an old, old woman." She spoke as if this were something that had come upon her with no prior notice. "All of a sudden my back gives out, I'm short of breath, and some days I can't see more than 2 feet in front of my face." This was sounding better all the time.